Minnesota week, 369 episodes of this podcast. We are hunting for Floyd. We're trying to keep him home. We're going up to Minneapolis. It's going to be a cold game. The Hawks are on a roll. Can they keep the momentum going? The boys think they can. It's a good podcast today. Some laughs, some giggles, some serious conversation. A good time. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Walk on fans. This is episode 369. That is 369 of this podcast. And if Kluver did his job, properly, you will have heard Get Low as the introduction music to this podcast. This is also the third rendition of the 69 podcast, which is my favorite podcast every 100 episodes. Giggity, giggity. This is the week where we've been living rent free in their heads for 369. 5 days. Who hates Iowa? They hate Iowa, supposedly. They're completely irrelevant to us, except for the fact that they're just another team that we have to go through to win a trophy. These pussies don't stand a chance against our defense. Kluver, Kevin, what's up, fellas?
These pussies. These gopher pussies.
I mean, imagine.
Welcome, everybody.
It's unbelievable how rent-free we live.
Tell you what, if you're, again, the Cyclones took it this year, I don't think they feel too good about it, honestly. If you're a Cyclone fan, I don't know if you feel good about beating the worst offense in college football by three and then losing almost every game after that. Boys, Cyclones are bad, huh?
But imagine us losing to them this year, though. Like, it's unbelievable that we actually lost to this ass team.
Yeah,
I agree. For a trophy, man. For the state trophy.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely unacceptable.
They went out, and quite honestly, they earned it because that 99-yard drive, well, to be frank, I haven't watched all the Iowa State games, but from what I've caught from a distance, it's the most impressive thing they've done all season by far. Was the 99-yard drive against our defense, which is on the docket tonight. Josie Jewell sent the boys a text message, got a little riled up.
He's not happy with you, Mike. He's not happy with you.
The Outlaw has some issues with myself.
Especially because you said, you posted a picture of Jack. I know you might have been talking about the defense, but it was Jack in particular, and it was titled possibly best ever, or whatever you posted it.
That's what it was.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, the Outlaw's got a hell of a resume, pal.
But I wasn't talking.
He's one of our best friends.
So he is.
It looked like you were saying, Josie, you don't hold a candle to this kid.
It didn't look like.
That's what it looked like. I'm telling you, that's what it looked like.
Okay, well, if you read the tweet that I quote tweeted with our account, it said, give us three words about this defense. Now, if there was a tweet that said, give us three words about Jack Campbell, and I would have said, better than Josie, then we're in a conversation, right? I think there's people out there that would argue Jack Campbell is better than Josie.
Maybe. But I'm just saying it can't come within 337 or 339 West Bend.
No, and just I would never put that out there. the Outlaw, in fact, rolled into Nashville, though they lost the game. He rolled into
Looking
Nashville
like an absolute stallion.
Like he belonged on Yellowstone.
Yep, for sure.
Which I understand there's a new season out.
And it is heart-wrenching, dude. Could they take a chill pill on the emotion, boys and girls?
I haven't seen it. Kevin, when we went over those shows, was Yellowstone one of the shows that you had seen?
Oh yeah, big time. So, have not watched the new episode yet though. So
try not to cry, Kevin. Quick. I dare you. Try not to cry.
It's easy when you don't feel anything inside.
No, man, this episode will make you feel something. I'm telling you.
Wow. Wow.
I cried twice, but not crying, but like tears were in my eyes. I was blinking away tears. I had the burning sensation of crying. Like I was emotional.
Yeah. My wife, Lauren, and I call that your eyes get wet. Like
I was soaked.
I'm not crying. My eyes are just wet. You know, and she's had to call me out several times during the process of becoming a father. Let's see, I think it was last week or maybe 10 days ago, we decided upon a name.
And, really?
Yeah. And once we've decided upon it and we kind of sat there and like let it sink in, eyes got a little wet, you know? Eyes were wet. And and she's got to call me out on that, and then she laughs at me, and then I get the wetness out of my eyes, and we move on. But that's just how it goes. What do you want, Kevin? You're looking at me like you want to say something. You asshole, wearing that pinstripe bull stocking hat and a blanket inside your house. Turn the fucking heat on.
Heat's on. I'm a little under the weather today, boys.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, just a little bit.
But you didn't take the day off, did you?
Did you get AIDS?
you know, I haven't gotten tested, so I can't unequivocally say no.
Facts.
But I don't think it was AIDS, no.
Hey, I just wanted to try and rule out one of the important ones.
Yeah, don't want to catch the AIDS. Yeah, Kev looks like he's quite honestly, he looks like Rickety Cricket.
He looks comfortable. He looks like a king on his throne.
It looks like Rickety Cricket.
I am quite comfortable. I don't feel quite like Rickety Cricket yet.
Oh, fuck. Welcome to the podcast. This is three assholes talk about their lives, catch up with each other, and some Iowa football. That's really the name of this podcast. Speaking of the Pinstripe Bowl, Kev, last week or 2 weeks ago, that was where the Hawks were projected to go for a bowl game this year.
And guess what's still in play? It's still the Rose Bowl, baby.
Worst case scenario?
No, there's far worse case scenarios this year. That was
in fact, the Rose Bowl might be best case scenario this year.
How hilarious was that? It's literally the best case scenario. They win out, they go to the Big Ten Championship, they win the Big Ten, they go to the Rose Bowl. That's literally the best case scenario.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
How cool is it that we could say worst case scenario Rose Bowl?
It was wild, man.
It was wild back then, man. That was a wild ride.
And we got the worst case of the worst case scenarios.
Did we ever, bro? We had to play Christ Resurrected.
Somebody tagged me.
Except Christ wouldn't have done the things that he did.
Nearly as filthy a thing to us.
There's no way Jesus was getting as many all-purpose yards as Christian was.
No chance. There's no chance Jesus had as good feet as Chris McCaffrey.
You think he would? Jesus, there's no way Jesus was doing that in flip-flops. Not a chance.
Zero.
I bet Jesus can run a 5-10-5, though. He can get side to side.
We walked on water, so he does have pretty good balance.
Yeah, he's decent. He's a good player, you know, and Jesus is like, he's a star player. I don't C-Mac know.
2016 Rose Bowl.
He ain't C-Mac, right? So if you're looking at Jesus and you're looking at C-Mac, you're probably building the program around C-Mac, right? But that second round pick is Jesus.
If you can get Jesus in the second round,
he falls to the second round. If C-Mac's
on there. Wow, that's crazy talk.
I wonder if Christian ever thinks about that game. Like, wow, I really fucked.
Well, he's teammates with George now, so. I'm sure he's brought it up within the last month.
You see him at the Golden State game?
I did.
Somebody tagged me in that and said, this might be the closest any 2015 Iowa football player has ever gotten to touching Christian McCaffrey. I was like,
that's trash.
You're right. You're right. The defense did tackle him. There were plays where he was tackled. Not as many as we would have liked.
Nope.
I pulled up the CBS, and you know, who gives a fuck, right? What does CBS know? They do it for clicks, right? Just like everybody else. The CBS bowl projections, the latest, has Iowa versus Arkansas.
That'd be a fun matchup.
Woo, Pig Suey. In the Music City Bowl, Nashville, Tennessee.
I can get behind that. That'd be fun. That'd be fun for the fan base. I think that'd be a good matchup. I think that'd be a great game.
I would take that. Go back 1 month to after we got bent and plugged by Ohio State, and if you told us we're in the Music City Bowl in Nashville, Iowa fans would be like, well, how though? What happened? Right?
And the fan base has been trying to go to Nashville for years now.
I was just going to say, when we were lined up to go play, who was it? Missouri. In the COVID season, I think the fan base was rough and rowdy to go down to Nashville and take on is the main street there Broadway? Is that what it's called? Broadway in Nashville?
Yeah, for the downtown folks.
That
yeah.
place fucking stinks.
Yeah, that's not a Drake place, really.
It's horrible, dude. It's horrible. Listen, dude, it's not that great when you are having the VIP experience.
Wow.
It's horrible if you're a normal person, and it's okay as a celebrity or in a group of celebrities.
The problem is that there are a lot of people who actually do enjoy that. They love big crowds of people, live music, sweaty, drinking beer. It's just not you, Drake.
Dude.
And it ain't me either.
It's a nightmare.
I think Kevin would enjoy it.
I have.
Been in Nashville?
A few times, yeah.
Oh, you did go. Yeah, I've never been.
We had Ike's bachelor party down there. That was a good time in Nashville.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Heard and seen plenty of that, you know?
Woo!
So, you know, if that's where we end up, you know, we'll take it. We'll take it. We got a little bit of work to do left. We got two games on the schedule. We're going to talk about one of them tonight. Drake, we're doing this a little early tonight. So for those that are on the Patreon, patreon.com/washupwalkons, you might get that upload a little earlier than normal, about a half hour to an hour earlier. Or maybe you won't, because Tech Guy just, you know, he just puts it up when he wants to. But Drake, right when we got on the podcast, I want to bring this to light quick. You said you're about a month out from punching as hard as the scary Brazilian guy.
Yeah.
It's a bold statement.
Hey, man. Just saying. Kid's got a good left hook.
Left hook, huh? Not right?
Well, a right hook is easy to throw. Your lead hand hook is the hardest punch to throw.
Because it's out in front of you already.
It takes a whole – your whole kinetic chain has to be in line for your left hook to be good. And it's really hard to, like, not hold on to it and guide it. And it's a hard punch to throw.
It makes sense because for a normal fighter, they're going to keep that – that's why the right hand – you put your power hand in the back because you can rear that bitch up.
Mm-hmm.
If your lead hand, you're not going to have as much to turn on with it. So – I at least know biomechanics and how that works. I don't know shit about punching. Never punched anybody before. Don't plan on it. But I'd like to see that, man. I'd like to see you hit as hard as that guy.
Me too. I'd like that as well.
Because if you could hit as hard as that guy, and you're as good as you say with the BJJ.
Well, I'm not that good at BJJ. I'm just a lot better than you.
Don't backtrack it now. You tell me all the time how you're pretty damn good.
Okay. I got my ass whooped by Bader today.
Okay. Well, Bader is like a top five contender in Bellator. So
he's the heavyweight champ.
Sure. There you go. Even better. So but getting
what
your
I'm
ass
saying in- is he's good.
Right.
He's really good.
Okay.
He beat my ass.
Right. Sure. Not surprised, by the way. I would have took Bader.
Yeah. I mean, the money's on Bader.
But yeah, I don't know what the odds are. Bader's favorite.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ryan Bader. Chris Hassel has been a topic of conversation in the Discord Brady Ross, you know, we talked about his clap back a little bit a couple weeks ago. I'm not the kind of guy who sits and listens to all the other Iowa podcasters and like makes these decisions. Like, I like this guy, don't like the other guy. I certainly enjoy other people's content more than others. I do listen to a few of them, really just, Hassel and then John Miller. Maybe a couple other people. Chris Hassel does a good job of playing the emotional fan part up. And I don't know if it's, it's
Screwball.
Yeah, a little cheesiness, a little like.
We've got a t-shirt coming out about him and his snacking habits.
And a few other snacking habits. It's a we got a few t-shirts coming out now.
We do. We got some great, great t-shirts.
In fact, I'm going to come back.
One of them should be Kevin's dead body on the desk right now.
Guy's struggling. Look at him. Please go to the video version of this and just watch, because Kevin's taking a nap on his desk right now.
That's all right. Kluver and I will carry this one.
Back to Hassel in a second. I did want to mention this. I'm glad you said it, Drake. The washed up walk-ons Christmas drop.
It's incredible, dude.
It's coming soon.
Oh,
soon as in, if you're listening to this show when it comes out on Thursday, you will be available to purchase items in one day. Friday is when it drops. Friday, the 18th.
This is by far the best merch drop anybody has ever had on planet Earth.
There is going to be a anti-Cheeto Fingers Social Club t-shirt. We've got a bunch of Hawks by a Million gear. We've got hats. We've got walk-on gear. We have dog bandanas, HBAM dog bandanas. And Bane is now on film. Bane, you're going to be getting a little bandana, buddy. Oh, and he put his hand up. I love dogs. Everyone loves dogs. Oh, and there's the other dog in the back. Dude, you remember when they were the same size? Holy shit.
It's not the same size anymore. This kid's got a really big head.
Like, yeah. You and him are the same size. So we got a lot of merch coming out. If you are a Patreon subscriber...
Oh, that's only the Patreon? That's only the Patreon merch?
If you're a Patreon subscriber, you have access as one of your perks to exclusive Walk-On Army member designs.
Oh, our December Patreon is about to be at 1,000, dude, because people are going to want these shirts.
There are two designs for this Christmas that will have a password-protected URL on it. The password will be given out through the Patreon as part of your perk, and you will be able to buy the Goop Gang DHT mascot merch, which is Christmas themed. It's a red, green, and white t-shirt. It's the mascot of our private podcast, which is a jar of it's a jar of goop. We're not really sure what that is or how to describe it to you, but if you're in the Discord, you know, and you're in the Patreon, you know. And he's wearing a Santa hat that says DHT, Dickhead Tuesday, and he's holding candy cane weapons. The other t-shirt is the one and only Goat Wallace tease. We've been talking about it.
Please tell us your thoughts on the Goat Wallace tee. You have to be loving this.
Kev, you got to at least talk about Goat Wallace.
Coach Wallace is the GOAT, man.
It's such a good design. You'll be able to buy two different colors of t-shirts or a sweatshirt with the Goat Wallace design. It is exactly what we talked about when we came up with this idea. It is Coach Wallace's face on the body of a goat with big-ass horns, and it says... Goat Wallace on it. And it's one of the best designs we've ever done. I'm about to send 50 of them to the complex so that they can be passed out to the staff and any players that are interested in wearing them.
How sick it would be to have all the linebackers go out in Goat Wallace sweatshirts to pregame warmups. They do their pregame. What do they call that? The primer.
Yeah.
And Goat Wallace hoodies.
I need it.
Need that. Send Captain Jack a couple Goat Wallace hoodies.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah, we're.
It's got to happen, dude. We have the fundage.
I mean, come on.
The kid can afford a couple of sweatshirts.
I mean, come on, right? I mean, if you're listening and you didn't think we did, what are you doing? Walk-ons do numbies, huh? Kevin might put his face in the desk, right? He might not talk for the entire episode. We still do numbies. Come on.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you guys quickly about one of our sponsors, AdCraft Custom Merch and Apparel. You guys know that we've been working with them for well over 2 years now. Frankly, they solved all of our problems. I was a dumb 23-year-old who started a podcast. People started asking for t-shirts, and all of a sudden, we got to find a company that can print hundreds of pieces of apparel because of you crazy fans. AdCraft was the answer, and we're super thankful that they came along into our business's life, a great partnership that we've had ever since. And some of the things that they do best are fan gear stores. So if you're part of a community, you know, like back when I played for Marshalltown High School, we ran the fundraiser every year. Hey, get your t-shirts, your sweatshirts out for the year. This is who prints it. They can do that. They do that for tons of schools. They do a fundraising web store for you, your fans, and your players. Usually run, you know, a week to a week and a half long campaign. And then it's a quick turnaround and it's direct shipment to every customer that buys some of that merchandise. They also do company stores, store to fit your company's needs. It has a password protection and it's perfect for employee uniforms or special events where your employees need certain attire. And then what they do for us is basically our custom merchandise website. And the store is open 24/7. You guys know that we run the limited time stores with them. Another one coming up soon for this Christmas. But the 24/7 store is open all the time. And you can get to them through our website. The orders are fulfilled on demand. They literally pick, pack, ship, store all the stuff at their facility. And it's amazing for company or personal branding. I can attest to that. We can attest to that. And you can swap products in and out super easy. New idea, take something down, put something up. It's super simple. So shout out to AdCraft, as always, for being legends and for sponsoring the show.
And we're going to send the entire linebacker room Goat Wallace merch. And that's what we're doing with our adult lives. This is our life.
This is a great life we lead, fellas.
It's incredible. Back to Chris Hassel. Chris Hassel said on the podcast, and this is a question that I saw a lot from fans as well. And Kevin or Drake, you can answer to it. I can give an answer as well. It's not specifically related to being a real football player or a long snapper or any of that. Chris was questioning. They were questioning, how have the Hawks done this? How have they turned it around? How has the defense... I put it down. How do they stay positive and keep their head down after that OSU week and continue to produce and not turn against their offensive teammates? How do they still believe in their teammates? And like in my head, that may make sense as a fan, but
has this dude ever played sports?
I think he played in high school, but then he went directly into TV and broadcasting and journalism.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
In my head, I thought, what's the other option? What?
Right. I mean, what's the defense? What do you expect them to do? Just like lay down and dive? I guess season's fucked and those fuckers over there can't get their shit done. So we're just going to be bums then. Like,
right.
What?
You've got a group of, if you make it into a Division I football program and you're, especially if you're a starter, someone who's on the first string of this defense, you are extremely high performing. And high performing individuals don't just turn it in. They don't just wave the white flag, especially on their own brothers. And I'm not faulting Chris for this. I think he was, I don't know if he was, you know, if you were to ask him not on a podcast entertainment setting, he'd probably give you a better answer or talk about it. I think he was saying what a lot of, again, he's playing the fan and, well, you just expect Jack and Seth to show up and be like, you know what? Fuck you guys. we're sitting on the sideline today. You guys practice. We're going to hang out. We've been doing our job. We're taking the day off. No. You think Riley Moss and Coop are going to go out there and just start going 60% because the offense isn't doing well?
No, Coop's playing for a Heisman next year, bro. Coop's playing offense, defense, and winning the Heisman next year. I'm calling it and I'm betting it.
These fucking defenders are trying to play themselves into the first round.
Yeah.
If you find a book that'll take it, I think he might. I mean, what would the odds be? Plus 100 grand, I think.
Yeah, you'd get plus 100K.
I think you'd get good odds.
Yeah, I mean, 100 bucks to win 100 grand.
Was Aiden Hutchinson in the final three for for the Heisman?
Or did he have in New York?
Did he? I'm asking.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
I know in the past few years there have been a fair amount of defenders who have been at least.
Bro, there's been like five in the last decade, if that. Aiden Hutchinson, Manti Te'o, and Honey Badger maybe got invited.
We're talking about offensive and defensive Coop here. We're talking about Deion Sanders.
Which is what you need, right?
You have
You got to have a few offensive statistics in there.
Here's a question for you.
Did Jabril Peppers get invited? Was he up there?
He might not have been top three, if not. But he was like top six or top 10 for sure before they cut it down. Here's my question that we all could have different answers on. How many offensive plays do you think Coop could handle a game? Playing a full defensive game as well.
You could do it more if you took him out of corner, put him in the cash spot, which isn't going to get as many reps, right?
True.
If you had him playing cash instead of quarter, I'd say you could play 15, maybe 20 snaps a game.
Yeah. And think about this. He plays most of his snaps earlier in the game or maybe later in the game. Maybe you don't play him at all on offense in most first halves, and then you save all his reps and you get to figure out which very important reps are coming down, you know.
That's not a bad idea. Set some stuff up offensively, run a few plays, show the defense.
If he's your lockdown corner, like your cornerback number one next year,
he's got
less than 10 plays a game on offense,
especially if he's returning punts. I mean,
I don't know if you want him to do all three.
Guy's only got so much juice in him, right?
I don't know, man. Hey, we're doubting a kid before we've let him prove himself.
I know.
I'm not doubting a kid. I am just being realistic about the workloads of the 18 to 22-year-old athlete.
Yeah. I think Drake's smart enough, too. We all know kind of what the volume of athletic performance can fit onto
a
body.
You know, if you want to, like, go out there and say, hey, dude, you're returning kicks, punts, you're playing every corner down, and we're going to throw you in there about 30 offensive snaps.
Oh, shit.
Could he do that for one game? Yeah, he's going to be tired at the end of the game. And
all right, so let's try that by the end of September if we make it. Let's try it. Because he's got a month to recover.
Save him for week 13.
We will try that in the Big Ten Championship, and I think that's a great plan, man. Listen,
we should hire you as OC or just as
No. Just idea guy.
Let's give you an analyst position.
No, I don't want to work that hard. I just want to be the idea guy. Just
throw
in a couple ideas.
The thing is if there was one player that was built to do it, and I know it was a totally different game, but if you ever watch Coop's high school highlights, the man was doing it all. and that's still tiring, especially when you got – I mean, I don't –
And in reality, this would be the year to do it with how many good defensive backs they have. He wouldn't have to play as many defensive snaps if you did want to – get a little frisky.
Jermari and Terry are both out, so we're not as deep as we were at the beginning of the year, but we would probably still manage, you know, like this defense is good. So anyway, Chris Hassel, that's my response. There's no other option when you're fucking elite and And I also believe that, and Kevin can maybe speak to this, I believe that the way that Phil Parker coaches and sort of instills just incredible self-trust, but also trust in the guys around you, I think that defense, you know, maybe to themselves thinks, yeah, put it on our back. Fuck yeah, we want it. We want it, you know?
I think it's more of a sense of, you know, like, fuck everything else outside. We got to do our jobs. Doesn't matter what the offense is doing. Doesn't matter what's happening throughout the season. Doesn't matter what people outside the building are saying. Just focus on doing your job.
Everything else is irrelevant.
And you got 11 guys doing their job well. This is what you get.
Really well. Potentially best, potentially weller than most other teams out there. So
objectively weller than most other teams.
Yeah. In some stats. Yeah. So that brings up my next question was, is this defense? We had the conversation in the chat and we weren't really, you know, there to watch the 2004 defense, which was a very, very good defense. 2000, you know, Pat Anger, they played on a pretty good defense, you know, on the turn of the decade over there. He couldn't tackle now, but damn, at one point he could. Is this defense potentially the best that KF has ever had?
Potentially? Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt top five, probably top three, and you could make an argument for the best.
Strength of schedule right now is 25th in the country.
Right? Yeah, strength of offense, I think, of offense is gone against, I think would probably revert back towards the mean. You know,
definitely lower. Definitely lower.
Yeah.
Because we've played some elite defenses. We've talked about the elite defenses that we've played.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Michigan and Ohio State had pretty good offenses. Purdue is solid offense. I think the other teams that we played kind of been struggling a little bit.
They've struggled.
Yeah. But it doesn't change the fact that these guys go out and execute week in, week out, you know.
I don't think that we have a guy on the defense right now. I don't know. Jack Campbell might be the guy. I don't know if we have a best ever at their position specifically, because that's really hard to crack, right?
No, I mean, Jack's great. He's not better than Greenway.
Greenway was pretty fucking good.
Greenway was pretty fucking good.
But maybe he is, though. I haven't looked at the stats. I mean, maybe he is. Them goddamn dogs.
I just don't. Jack's a great player. I don't think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. And obviously, the value of a middle linebacker in the NFL has changed, too, so they don't get drafted as high as they used
Definitely
to.
Definitely has. You got to remember, we're talking two decades ago, right?
Yeah, sure. That's like,
I don't know. Who's the kid that plays for Tampa Bay? 45. He got drafted like fifth. Micah Parsons got drafted like sixth.
Yeah, but what do they ask Micah Parsons to do? They won't ask him to
now they ask him to rest, but they didn't initially. They drafted him to be their middle linebacker. He just showed that he wasn't that good of a middle linebacker. He was an amazing pass rusher.
That's what I'm saying is that's where teams put value on over, you know, being a middle linebacker, right?
It's different. It's different nowadays, no doubt.
The pass rusher is going to get paid a hell of a lot more money than the middle linebacker on every NFL team. Oh,
yeah.
By far in the country.
I don't think we have a D lineman that's Adrian Claiborne. I don't know who you're going to put there as far as the best to do it. I don't know if we have a DB that's as good as
we don't have. But
if Coop sticks around and keeps playing though,
yes, then obviously,
but right now the resume isn't there. But as a team, like Kevin said, when you got guys all doing it collectively,
There's no holes in this defense either. Yeah,
there's like not.
We've had some really good defenses where there is like one or two areas where teams really like to attack us. You know, and
what's the weakness? Like, if you're an offense and you want to attack our defense, what's the weakness? I don't know.
Don't got one, man.
It's crazy.
They're just good across the board.
wild.
And there's obviously a lot of talent. A lot of these guys are going to go play in the league, but like you said, none of these guys are probably best all time at their position in the Iowa building.
Right. Right. It's an interesting conversation as a group of 11. And I also talked about the depth of the D line. I mean, we've got an infantry for the D line. We've got 8 or 9 guys that can come in and you're like, yeah, that dude can do damage. Like he's done damage.
And we got some guy wearing 91 that was built in the lab.
Yeah. He literally got the Hulk transformation done. Drake, I'm going to ask you a question, maybe, and Kevin too. Either of you can answer. First, Drake, you're starting to sound like a little robot. So if you want to redo your internet or whatever trick makes sense there, go ahead. Kevin, you can answer maybe while we're waiting. Somebody asked when we were talking about Wisconsin's 3-man front, and they wanted to know, you know, we always talk about how it's tough to go against this 3-4 defense. But we know it's coming every year, twice, with Iowa State and Wisconsin. Why do we struggle with it? Why is that a front that is hard to attack? And my answer from someone who doesn't know the schematics of it versus a 4-3 is simply time exposure. Obviously, 10 out of 12 games a year, we're practicing against one front, and then you only get 2 weeks out of the year where you're going against the other one. You're going to be worse at going against the other one naturally. But as far as
the lineman's keys, like it's not that much different, but to them, every play in front of their eyes looks different than it usually does. And only that week for 3 days have they been thinking with these keys, and it's happening at game speed against a really good defense in Wisconsin with really good football players. Like it always trips them up because they're just doing everything a little bit differently. And when you're doing things differently, you always do it. It happens less efficiently.
Yeah. I mean, that's
just unfortunate because like for me, Alaric Jackson and I still about this to this day. He texted me about it just like before this season. He's like, dude, I still thank you for the day at Texas when we were playing that 3-4 defense, and you looked at me and you're like, dude, it's not that hard. Just block him.
It's not that hard.
And he's like, I needed to hear that. He's like, I fucking appreciated that so much.
Hey, and now he's been starting for the Rams. You know?
Look at that. He has a little knee injury right now that he come back from, but
he did get he got bummed up a little bit. I got
that story reminds me of another time.
Go for it.
We're sitting at a pregame. No. It was we're in the hotel Friday night before a game, and it's snack. So me, Ben, Josie, and Bo, we're sitting around. We're eating some ice cream, cookies, having a good time talking. We get to the talking. What is the easiest position to play mentally? Like
nose tackle.
So this we're like, yeah, I think it'd be pretty easy to be like a defensive tackle. You pretty much want to own your gap, or every now and then you got to switch your gap. Your linebacker's telling you to do that. And KF kind of overhears those things, comes over, and that's what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, we're just like, you know, what's the easiest position to go learn? It's like, tell you what, as difficult as they want to make it, what's the offensive tackle do 95% of the time? We're like, block the end. It's like, yeah. Just block the end.
Dude, I can hear him saying it too. I can hear him saying that. Oh, shit. I just blocked the end. What the fuck? You don't have to do shit up. You don't got to do shit out there. Just put your hands on the guy.
So, Drake, that advice was on par with one of the GOAT coaches of all time.
Hey, that's all I'm saying, man. I had very little advice for the offensive line ever because their job was so much harder than mine. But on that day, I had that piece of advice.
It's funny, too, because if you look at the offensive tackle and the nose tackle, the two positions you just mentioned, a lot of those positions, sort of prerequisite, come with a very specific body type, more so than other positions do. So you're thick, right? Thick, strong hands, right? There's a prototype for that.
With a giant ass,
big cock. What? Who said that? Who said that? Show is so hetero. Like, I don't know.
Cray?
That got homosexual for a second. Dude, what is our life? What do we do? Somebody sent me this chart. I thought it was cool just to look at. It's not like it's not something we don't know, but this is every possible scenario left and who wins the West if said scenario plays out. So for those that want to see this, it's really, really cool. I might repost it.
Probably do that.
Yeah, but essentially over here on the right, for anybody watching, is the eventual champion and how that works out with the, oh, well, every team left in the West, basically, and who they play. And if you notice, Iowa has the most outcomes on that right side. So that's neat. And then it also lists under each team specifically, and this is assuming loss to Michigan as well. It lists under each team specifically all of the basically just played out in words what has to happen. And Iowa has a lot of scenarios over here. So
the most simplest being, as we discussed last week, is that Illinois loses to Michigan.
Yep.
Saturday at 11 a.m. And then the Hawks all of a sudden controlled their own destiny. They went out and were going.
Right. Yeah. Right at the top there just says went out. But there are some other there's some other options there. So cool little chart if you want to look at that. Of course, this weekend it does start with the Badgers, not the Badgers, the Gophers, and Floyd's on the line, and we have Floyd. Floyd is a trophy that still resides in our building. Hasn't seen Minneapolis. I can't.
Floyd's in our building because they stink. They suck, dude.
And I hate them.
Careful now. Somebody out there got that reference. Somebody out there got him. They stink like pigs. Like pigs rolling around in shit. It just so happens that tonight we're going to do a top five. And the other guys, they might not be prepared for this. I kind of hit him with a very vague topic. Someone suggested this, by the way. We're doing top five pig-related things. Anything. Could be a book, a movie, a pig character, Floyd, a piggy bank, fucking whatever you want. Meat that pigs produce. That's what we're doing. I want to make sure that we don't have anything else. Oh, before we get there, Phil had some good quotes today, talked to the media today. And he said that, quote, they had three strong practices ahead of Minnesota this week. Very intense. Credited Captain Jack Campbell for leading the charge on upping the intensity this week.
Shocker.
Said that it was violent in a good way.
The more I hear quotes about him, the more that Jack Campbell and Josie Jewell are the same fucking person.
Except for Jack's better. What?
Oh, shit.
I can't believe it.
Josie's going to come after you.
I'm scared. Does the outlaw know where I
live? You know he listens, right? He's going to...
He's going to hear that.
I'm trying to ruffle his feathers.
It's accomplished.
I can tell Josie that I'm kidding, and he will still take it as serious.
No, Josie is very upset with you as he is listening to this.
In fact, I'm going to tweet about it too, because I know he searches his name on Twitter.
You think, does he still do that? Do you know?
I guarantee you he still does it. Dude, he looks for fire, for fuel. He looks for it. Part of what makes him great, right? Because he's not Jack Campbell. He's not 6'5". He's not 250. Right? Horrible lateral speed, according to most scout boards.
Wow.
I'm so sorry, Josie. I've become the noise.
I'm gonna. I want you to know that I'm none of this, brother.
You sub star Fortnite player?
Just ass at Fortnite. Can't build. Can't build worth a shit. Sucks at fishing.
I think your flat feet are quick.
Gets hurt all the time. Wrist, pec, you name it.
Yeah, only pussies tear their pec.
Yeah, pussies. You're the only one that has a pec injury in this conversation.
My pecs are great. That's probably a sign. So Phil says all that, and I feel like that's a good sign. Like when Coach Parker gives credit and comes out and starts saying stuff unprovoked like that, like practice was violent in a good way and the intensity was up.
We always had our best weeks when we were literally beating the piss out of the scout team. And the scout team kind of like leaned into it a little bit too. Like they got physical and nasty back and there was fights and mutual respect for sure. But yeah, we had great practices then.
This means no doubt that in Iowa City right now, there are some scout teamers that are going to need the training room tomorrow. On the off day, they're going to need some treatment.
But how good are they feeling right now knowing that their work's done?
You're right. It's a great time Wednesday night.
That's what the coaches say. It's like Wednesday is your game day. You're done after that.
And Brady Ross took that to goddamn heart.
God damn it, did he?
Old BR in the Discord. He was hurting. He was hurting first teamers.
Dude, he knocked me out on feet on a Friday.
I'll never forget watching him do kickoff as a scout team kickoff guy.
Maybe it was a Thursday back.
Oh, he was a bitch to block on scout team kickoff.
He was an asshole on kickoff his freshman year.
Yeah. This is not what you want on a Monday morning when you're sore from the game still. And you just...
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it makes you better. That's for damn
sure. Made you better.
Yep.
All right. I don't know if you guys are ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
We're going top five pig related things.
What about Ward's winners?
That comes after that.
Ah.
Top five pig. So this one's recent. This one is very recent. Kevin and I enjoyed a nice meal at Joseph's in Iowa City the other night.
Wow.
And you know what we had?
It was that good.
Oh, and you know what we had to kick the meal off? A nice little plate of pork belly.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And some whipped potatoes underneath. And that's not the first time I've had pork belly. Every time I've had pork belly, it slaps, as the kids say.
It melts in your mouth. It's good stuff.
Coming in at my number five, pork belly.
Joseph's pork belly in particular.
Particularly, yes. Would anybody like to go next?
Wendy's Baconator, extra bacon.
Wow. Dude, Baconator didn't even cross my mind.
Mine either.
God damn it.
That's tremendous.
That's disrespectful by me to the Baconator, and I'm sorry.
I apologize to the Baconator.
Kevin, that's a solid pick, and honestly, might be too low.
You know, it might be, but, you know, I didn't have time to prepare a list in advance, so it's not number five.
That's a good pick. That's the first Kevin pick I've ever been jealous of. Bane, what's your fifth pick?
His fifth pick would probably be
Rawhide.
Pig dick.
Okay.
Go for it.
My number five pick. Potbelly pigs. My buddy Nick has a potbelly pig. He's like 300 and some pounds, and he is cool as hell.
Like as a pet?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Is he ever going to eat it?
No, I don't believe so.
Well,
but you're not sure.
Can't confirm. I just know that he hunts wild pigs on his land, and him and his uncle process all that meat. So seeing as how good that meat is, I'm just going to go out and say I doubt it.
That'll bring me to my number four, and that's hella hogging. Never done it, but it's on the bucket list.
I like that. Hog hunting from a helicopter, like Tim Kennedy.
Ah.
You get up in the helicopter, and you scare them out, and they go running around, and you just open up and a machine gun on them.
Dude, that's another good pick.
It's an unbelievable pick. Kevin is the R word me right now.
Kevin's winning a list for once.
Bad. He's bodying me right now.
My number four just looking like a soft pick now is Wilbur from Charlotte's Web. You know,
he's a
role player, right? You need him in your lineup, but he's not the star. He kind of is of that story, but when we're talking all time pig things, but Charlotte's Web, Wilbur.
Okay.
Clap.
Hello. On number four, pigs in a blanket.
Fuck, it's good pick. Think, it's a good pick.
I didn't think about that either.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Dude, pigs in a blanket.
That's a good pick. And that's relevant too. That's relevant. Pigs in a blanket. It's pigs in a blanket season right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a pig in a blanket.
You look like one. Fuck me. This might be one of our funnier episodes. A dead ass. Kevin, you went out of turn there because it was relevant. Do you want me to go with number three now?
Go number three.
Okay, I feel like this is a good pick. Take me into Winnie the Pooh and give me Piglet. Give me Piglet.
That's you start this off with, I think this is a good pick.
Dude, you're shitting on Piglet?
He came up with the top five, Kevin, and we are bodying him.
No.
God, Hoover, you're losing so bad. You just named off two cartoon characters, you little pussy.
I think the people will stand by this one. Piglet is a savage.
No way.
No. Piglet is the worst of the Winnie the Pooh characters.
That's okay.
You're losing. All right. Hoover, that's just simple.
Okay. Oh, it's my list.
Bodied.
We can't win them all, can we?
You haven't won one yet.
Okay, well, what's your number three?
My number three is Floyd of Rosedale.
Wow, Floyd comes in at number three. Okay.
Trophy or the actual pig?
Well, if I could have actual Floyd, I'd pick him.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Okay. What was your number three, Kevin?
I haven't gotten to announce it yet, but number three, I'm going to go with a barbecue pulled pork sandwich.
Good. That's a good pick. It's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that, right? That's a consistent player.
It's got to be from a good barbecue place. You know, I'm not talking Arby's now. You know,
you're right. All right, that brings us to number two. You know, hopefully this one gets some respect. I'm going straight up bacon for number two.
Can't go wrong. Good stuff.
Not a flashy pick, but it gets the job done. One of you. Two.
Kevin.
Number two is, you know, we'd always do these up for the tailgate at least once a year. If Minnesota's coming to town, is we get these pork chops from Second City Steaks. And it basically comes with a nice long bone. You just eat a pork chop by hand. It's one of my more favorite things to do in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that. I thought about the word pork chop. I thought about it.
I'm very sad that my number two also agrees with Kluver, and I think his list sucked up until this point. But give me thick cut bacon.
Yeah.
And I want it applewood smoked. Wright Brothers makes an incredible applewood smoked thick cut. Oh, I mean.
But how are you cooking it? You want a floppy or a crispy?
Flat top.
Floppy or crispy?
When it's thick cut, it is both a little crispy and flimsy because it's so thick.
So you want your bacon medium rare is what you're saying.
No, medium. Not whatsoever. Get out of my face with that bullshit. I don't want part of medium rare bacon.
I'm with you, Drake. The thick cut, and it's a little crispy, but it's a little soft on the inside as well. Mm-hmm. You know? And Bane is fighting you. It's hilarious. All right. I'm glad that we agree on something. I think I know where probably me and Kevin are going here. Floyd of Rosedale is number one for me. It's the week that we're playing for Floyd. It's the heavy ass pig bronze trophy that we get to take home every year, seemingly. And the boys are going to bring it home again this season to continue the winning streak. Floyd of Rosedale, number one.
Oink, oink, motherfuckers. Retweet.
Oink. That is one of the all-time Kevin quotes. Oink, oink, motherfuckers. That's going to be a DH t-shirt at one point, too. Drake? pork in your lady.
God damn it. I hate you. I hate you.
What do you, how do you put that in a graphic clue?
I don't know. That's the issue. Because now I'm stuck with this. Tomorrow, one of my jobs, one on my to-do list is the top five graphic. How do I put pork in your lady in a little square? I don't know. I simply don't.
You put like a Miss Piggy in there or something? I don't know.
I'm sure I'll find something. I'll find something to do. So that's our top five. I think those are solid. I think Kevin took that. I certainly didn't, but I was trying to be wholesome. I thought Wilbur was a good pick. I stand with you, Wilbur, and Piglet, honestly.
Wilbur was a good number four, but Piglet was not a good number three.
You didn't like that at number three, huh?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, honorable mention, too, was the pig that Pete and Kim would roast after or this week after. Every year. Yeah.
Yep. Sunday meal. Yeah.
That was honorable mention for me. And I guess fucking Baconator is going to have to be honorable mention as well. Oh, fuck. Kevin won a week. You know what? Good for you, Kev.
Blind scores and acorns, right?
And that brings us to probably nobody's favorite segment at this point.
DJ Kevin.
We suck ass.
Hey, I'm still positive.
You are.
Been on a rough 1-2 stretch here for the last 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah. 1-2 for me as well. Last week, let's see. The updated records are 11-18-1. That would be your boys. Kevin is 16-14. And on the graphic, Drake is still blessing you as himself, Jesus Christ. So here we are. We've made it towards winners. Hit us with your picks.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple of just really basic picks that are probably going to not pan out very well. But
oh, good.
I feel good about the fact that these two teams are both playing for a shot at the CFP still. So I got TCU -2.5 at Baylor and USC -2.5 at UCLA. You know, both the teams they're playing against have come off pretty rough losses, and they're still in it for the national championship mix. So I think they both show up, and they both covered those 2.5-point spreads.
Love that.
Number three is one of the lowest unders in sports gambling history from a college football game is Iowa, Minnesota, 32.5. Give me the under, and I don't see a whole lot of points any which direction in this game.
It's going to be and cold. Over,
my only bet is Goofers money line to the bank.
Is that a mortal lock for you, Drake?
It's the mortal lock.
You're pulling out the mortal lock, huh?
Listen, dude.
It's that time of year, right?
It's that time of year.
You want to pull out an Illinois money line mortal lock as well?
I mean,
against Michigan.
That one feels like redundancy.
Feels locked up there. My picks. I am also going to the TCU Baylor game. I'm not betting the spread. I'm betting the over. I see two teams, Baylor, who really is random, but they've been on an uptick here. TCU, as Kevin mentioned, they're trying to play themselves into a top four, which is something that anybody outside of Oklahoma hasn't been able to do in the Big 12 since fucking I don't know when, ever. So I'm seeing 57.5. Give me the over. Nebraska is ass. And they've been having quarterback issues. Mm-hmm. I think like six of their quarterbacks are hurt. They don't even have six on the roster. It doesn't matter. It's Wisconsin, who isn't that good. We saw that. Graham Mertz, trash quarterback. Badgers -12.5. Give it to me.
What?
Where's that game at? Is it in
It's in Lincoln, but it's I don't think it matters, dude. Nebraska's trash. They're bad.
Nebraska is a bad football team at this point, and I think I'd lean the points with you there, Kalouf. I think so.
I like it. I like it a lot. And then you know what? Illinois. I bet against them last week. Purdue came through. Michigan. They're trying to make statements as well. They got a big game. They're playing a decent defense, but they're a good football team. I'm seeing minus 17.5 against the Fighting Illini. Staying in the Big Ten and going the Big Blue.
Uh-oh, the hook. The hook.
It could happen.
They're going to beat them by 17, huh, Kev?
The hash slinging slasher, the hook. It could happen. It could happen. Disclaimer, I'm fucking bad at this, boys.
What's your updated record again?
12 and 18. 12 and 18. So not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's below just picking them out of a hat.
It's 40% if we're doing percentages.
Yeah.
So I'm bad, but those are my three picks. The DRF boost of the week, and this kind of goes against the mortal lock a little bit.
The Hawks money line.
The Hawks money line. They are hot, boys and girls. We're boosting the Hawks money line. They are dogs up in the frozen tundra, but they're on a roll. The Hawks got Indy in their sights. Do they deserve to be there? Probably not, but someone's got to go, and it's going to be the black and gold DRF walk-on collaboration boost of the week, sponsors of the podcast and the boost. And by the way, we're going to be coming at you with boosted parlay odds for bowl season. I just learned that. That's going to be fun. Throw a little money down on some parlays. The Iowa Hawkeyes, boosted money line to win. Bring Floyd home, leave the timeouts, say sayonara to those fucking goofers, and roll into week 12 against Nebraska with Indy in sight. That's what
that
I
is have. An insane thing to be able to say.
Yep.
Dude, 6 weeks ago, I didn't think we were going to win three games.
We had them dead.
What? They were so bad.
The boys go to work for a reason, and it's paying off. And I hope, and all of us hope, that it continues to pay off. Drake, enjoy your concert and dinner with the lady. Kevin, take care of yourself. Get better.
Everybody.
And we hope you all have an incredible Thursday and an incredible weekend watching Hawkeye football. We'll be back on Sunday/Monday to talk to you again. Hopefully, holding Floyd in our virtual hands as the team holds it in the building for real. Until then, we'll talk to you later. Peace.